Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review.
This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 124 for comics originally released on December 23rd, 2009. And this is going up on a Wednesday instead of a Monday because of UPS. Bob, you got your books today, finally?
Finally did, yes. And this interestingly enough, they left Illinois the same day for you and me, only you got them last Thursday, and I got them on Monday because of the holiday weekend. That extra distance between Texas and California caused UPS not to deliver them on New Year's or Saturday or Sunday, so the holiday conspired to keep them from me.
Well, I mean, this is, again, our 124th Weekly Comic Spotlight episode, and this is only the second time we haven't had it out on a Monday. The first time was because I was in Japan for 10 days or whatever, about a year, almost 2 years ago now. So, 2 days late, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So we're, of course, recording this on the Monday when we would normally have it released, and we'll have it up on Wednesday. So, starting us off in DC, we've got Wonder Woman 39. What'd you think of this one, Bob?
It's an interesting thing because it's very well done. The thing that I find about Wonder Woman lately, especially when they get all mythical and mystical and stuff, which they have been in this arc and they were a few arcs ago, is it's very much unlike any other book that's coming out. I mean, it is steeped in a lot of Greek myth. There's a lot of action and everything, but it's not that superhero kind of action, and I actually enjoyed that genocide arc that just finished a lot more. The art by Aaron Lopresti and Matt Ryan is really nice. The writing is well crafted by Gail Simone, but when they depart into this kind of a story, it doesn't grab me as much as the more, you know, superhero-oriented stories do.
I think you've got a number of really good points there. First off, I agree with you entirely on the art. I think Aaron Lopresti is really kind of underrated. I think Matt Ryan's doing a good job inking him, and I've been very happy with the art on Wonder Woman. This is one where I've got to agree with you. It's a well-crafted and well-written story, but it just didn't click with me. And you know, I hadn't really put two and two together the way you did about the more they dive into the mythology, kind of the less it clicks with me, but I think that's true. And a lot happened here, a lot of good stuff. You know, it was a good issue, but it's one of those things where if you haven't been reading Wonder Woman, I would not suggest starting with this issue or even this story arc. There are better ones to pick from. And
well, I guess maybe if you really are deep into liking that mythology stuff, maybe you'd really like it.
I don't know, because
that's the kind of thing for a person. But, you know, for me, it just wasn't really clicking.
My sister's big into Greek mythology and stuff. She studied the classics and stuff in college. And I don't think she would have found this to her liking either. I could be wrong on that. But I don't know. It seems to have all the wrong mix of the mythology trying to do almost a modern superhero story with Achilles and some of these other characters. And I do think there's an audience for this, don't get me wrong, and I think there's an audience that's just eating it up, loving it with the exact things that aren't working for at least me, and I don't think for you either. The other thing that didn't work for me is part of the reason we picked this is every week we go to the Graham Cracker site, look through the solicits and say, ooh, that sounds interesting, let's pick that one. And the solicitation blurb for this, you know, I actually went and pulled it back out because it's like, now why did we pick this again? The solicitation blurb's as follows. It reads as follows. This is it. The secret behind Wonder Woman's new power and the true meaning of the Olympian are revealed right here. It's an all-out action issue as Diana faces an old foe with a hideous new face. That's a good solicitation blurb. It sounded interesting.
I didn't get that out of the story particularly.
I didn't get it out of the story at all. I mean, I think she's got a new power near the end there, but I didn't get the secret really behind it. I didn't really give a crap about the Olympians' true meeting or whatever. And some of the stuff they were trying to do there, it actually felt a little, I don't want to say redundant, but like they've gone down this road before, and it fell flat for me in terms of what I had been led to expect from that solicitation blurb. And this is part of the reason I try to ignore the solicitation blurbs, is it's hard to write a good one, and half the time they're going to be misleading. That's just nature of the beast. And this wasn't a bad comic, but it didn't really wow me in terms of the story, in terms of closing off this arc, in terms of it being any kind of major turning point for the character, which I had kind of expected. And, you know, I think part of it for me is a combination of what I had kind of expected from that solicitation blurb mixed with the not really clicking with the mythological stuff they were trying to do here. And while I think technically this is an excellent comic, the art is top-notch, the story is well-crafted, well-done, I just didn't care for the story they were telling.
Yeah, I mean, further, if, you know, they're setting more up with Ares and these kids and, you know, all, it's just, it doesn't seem, you got Wonder Woman, it's just, you know, do I even want to keep getting this book? It's the thing for me. It's like, are they going to continue down this path of doing these kind of stories that I just, you know, and you know what? I actually found that I actually read 3 issues in a row. I hadn't read this in like 3 months.
Wow.
And I wasn't really missing it. And when I read all 3 issues, I read, you know, 2 of them yesterday, and I read the third one today when I got the box. It's just like, even reading all 3 in a row, it's like, okay. You know, even if I'm going to get every other arc is going to be like this, it's like, do I want to keep on getting this book?
Yeah.
And again, it's nothing against Gail Simone, because, I mean, the writing is well crafted, and it is a well done story. I mean, I can tell. I mean, I'm not looking at this and saying, "Wow, that's a terrible story." It's just, it's a well done story that I just don't care for.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep getting the book, but I agree with you in terms of the. Is it going to be one that I miss if I don't read for a little bit or not? Sort of a thing. I like the character, and I'll admit that Wonder Woman's a tough character to do well. But, and they're not doing a bad job here, it's just they seem to flip between the let's tell a mythological one, let's tell a superhero one, and back and forth, and I like the superhero ones better. I would say that at this point, I really kind of wish they would go back to kind of Greg Rucka's take on the character, where she had the embassy, she had the supporting cast, and was a superhero, and then also kind of not a superhero and more than a superhero kind of a thing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Gail Simone, I think, is doing a great job here, but again, I think I'm in the same boat of it's frustrating to be reading a really good story that I just don't care for. And it's not like I dislike it. It's just, again, it's not connecting to me. So, for me, I gave this a rating of a 3, kind of a 3+. It's a good comic. I think it's maybe slightly above average in some respects, but I can't give it any higher than a 3 because it doesn't click with me.
I was in the same exact boat. I also had it down as a 3 for pretty much the same reasons. And, you know, it's just one of these ones where I just look at it and it's like, you know, wow, I'm having a hard time connecting with this series. And there have been moments, you know, and it's like about 50% of the issues that have come out in this run, I've really, really liked. But then the other 50% of them, they just left me cold. And, you know, when I draw the line, it's that same thing. It's, you know, the ones that where she's being that Wonder Woman colon superhero that I like, and that's just me, you know, with the character. And the ones where it's Wonder Woman avatar of Greek myth, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Yeah.
Boy, this one I have a real hard time with.
It's Captain America, Who Will Wield the Shield, number one, in case people were wondering.
Inside the front cover, it says, "Please note, the following story takes place after the events of Captain America Reborn, number six. Sorry, folks, because number five, you know, just came out. Six has not come out. There have been other books in the Marvel Universe that have come out that involve events that take place after Captain America Reborn, number six, that have come out already also. Well, and I'm not holding it against the story. I'm gonna grade this on exactly the standalone story as it will exist, regardless of Marvel's inability to put out books in the proper order.
Yeah,
time. But it's really frustrating to people who support these books and buy them in the monthly form when there are events that, you know, the story is not appreciable. It's not even a word, but, you know, you can't really appreciate the story properly because they're putting out the things out of order.
You know, it'd be like getting the reels in a movie out of order. It's
right.
It's kind of noticeable. And what gets me is the final paragraph of the kind of what's happened before recap page tells us what's going to happen in that sixth issue.
I don't even need to bother to read the stupid thing. When Reborn number six finally dribbles out, I'll probably glance through it. You know, it's like, it's a moot point now.
Yeah. Well, I will say before we get into the actual contents of this issue, this was another one where I kind of had some preconceptions going in. Now, to me, the Shield ultimately has to go back to Steve Rogers. It's his shield, okay? They can always give Bucky a replica shield. I mean, hell, U.S. agents had about 53 or some odd godly number.
Well, even Cap himself, you know, has had different shields over the years. He had that goofy energy shield for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have made other shields. You know, you can have a shield for Bucky, but
the only question comes down to what
the shield, yeah. You know, it goes with Steve.
Yeah, the real one goes with Steve. The only question would be, what name do you give Bucky? And to me, it's pretty obvious. You just call him the American Soldier. So I went in kind of thinking, if I were doing this, that to me is the logical outcome. Now, where they go with that, I never expect them to go the way I think they ought to go, because, hey, these are talented writers, and Brubaker, I mean, he's one of the best, you know, they've got over at Marvel, and he knows what he's doing with these characters, because, I mean, really, you look at the entire, you know, volume of Captain America from 1 to 50, and then as it jumped to 600 and stuff, and he's built up this story from day one. So, you know, I went in expecting it would be a good read, and overall, I was not disappointed. There were a few things that did not work for me. Specifically, when we first see in the now Bucky, what the hell is with this, like, purplish hair or whatever, and he just looked, like, older and different. And this is maybe nitpicking on the art and the coloring and stuff, but that right there just kind of took me out of the story just a little bit there. But, you know, once I got past that and stuff, and we actually got into the story, I mean, there's a lot of introspection here. But I think it was kind of needed, and it worked. And I enjoyed some of the stuff they were doing. I thought they telegraphed the ending of who would wield the shield early on in the story, so I wasn't surprised by how it came out. And I felt the last three pages of this issue were not needed, and frankly, I would have preferred it if they hadn't been there.
I'll tell you what, it's like, I'm going to digress now and talk about the Captain America Reborn series.
Okay.
I think of the five issues of it that I've read, it was a needlessly convoluted and not very well done series. Below the bar, in my opinion, for what Ed Brubaker normally writes. In fact, anyone hasn't read it yet, buy this one issue, who will wield the shield, read the first page, and you don't even need to bother to slog through Captain America Reborn. Okay, because the recap page here pretty much tells you what you need to know. You're really not missing anything, in my opinion, on skipping the entire Reborn series. In fact, I wish I had. This was a largely well-told story, and I thought it was much better constructed than the Reborn series. Unfortunately, for me, I really disliked the resolution to it, including that last three pages.
I think if they had ended before that, I wouldn't have been overjoyed with how the story ended, but it would be, okay, let me see what happens next and kind of take it on faith that Brubaker knows where he's going.
Yeah, but then ultimately this is what would happen next. So, you know, may as well pull the Band-Aid off, you know. And this is not the ending that I wanted to see come out of this. So while it was a well-told story, again, I'm going to go back to the Wonder Woman thing. Well done story. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. No,
They're doing was I didn't like it. You know.
I guess the thing is the because in the course of the story, you know, Steve Rogers makes a decision. Ooh, big surprise there. I didn't see that either decision kind of coming like that or the rationale, whatever. But it worked, and you know, I really liked how we got to see how some of the characters see each other and stuff in this issue. And again, that goes back to there's kind of a lot of introspection in this issue. But I felt this lack. While it answered the question of who will wield the shield and who will be Captain America and stuff like that, there are a few things where it really, particularly the last three pages, ended on a, you know, hey, go check this out next note.
I almost feel like I want to put a spoiler in here. We put like a spoiler warning and say, if you don't want to have this story spoiled, skip forward 2 minutes.
We've warned that we may spoil things occasionally, and I think over the last 124 we've been really good about that. So if you want to go ahead and spoil it, I'm okay with that. They will have had 2 weeks to read the issue.
So, I mean, okay, here. So you're warned. Skip forward 2 minutes after my rant here. Okay, so Brubaker kills Captain America back in Captain America 25. This is no surprise to anybody. And everybody is like, okay, he killed Captain America. Now what next? How long is it going to be before he brings Captain America back? And, of course, when we say Captain America, we mean, of course, Steve Rogers. So here we are waiting. It's been 2 years or so. And, of course, now Steve Rogers is back. And so Steve Rogers decides he's not going to be Captain America, and he passes the mantle of Captain America onto Bucky. That's what I get out of the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's the same thing as when they killed him, okay? It's like, okay, in my opinion, Steve Rogers is ultimately going to be Captain America again. How much agony do I have to go through of another story, you know, another however many stories or a year or 2 years before they finally make Steve Rogers Captain America again. You know, just make him Captain America again. I don't really want to see Captain America, Steve Rogers running around as him being the American soldier. It's almost like the Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner syndrome. You know, it's like, okay, they did the stupid thing. They made Kyle Rayner, you know, Green Lantern. So they're like, you know, going out of their way to not make Hal Jordan Green Lantern, you know, and they make him Parallax, and they kill him, and they make him the Spectre, and they do all this kind of nonsense, and you're like, you know, ultimately, Hal Jordan's Green Lantern, they're going to bring him back, he's Green Lantern again, it's really good, and Kyle Rayner can be Green Lantern too. You know, it's just, why do you have to put us through these mediocre story machinations? And that's what I get out of this. I mean, ultimately, Steve Rogers will be Captain America again. Just make him Captain America. And I thought that's, you know, that's what everyone was expecting to see out of this, I think. And that's probably why Brubaker didn't do it. He probably was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do what everybody expects me to do. Instead, I'm going to do this other thing.
Okay. Well, I think
that's... Knock yourself out.
It's a fair comment. If since it was expected to go the one way, let's go a different. But I think what they could have done equally well is go the way that was expected, but not for why it was expected or how it was expected. You know, there are other twists you could pull there if you feel the need to. But to me, this goes back to, you know, the was the Civil War, The Return, or whichever one it was, where, oh, we think we're going to get, you know, Thor back, and nope, it's not him. And it turned out not even to have been the Captain Marvel who theoretically did return then. You know, so there comes a point where the writers try to get too clever for their own good.
It's getting to the point where, you know, them doing this kind of nonsense is the expected thing because they do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so why don't you surprise us and give the fans what they want for a change, you know, instead of putting us through this other stuff. But, you know, I mean, I'm too invested in it or something. I've always liked Captain America. I've always liked Steve Rogers and just seeing this, you know, it's like what identity am I going to have to put up with Steve Rogers running around in now for the next year? You know, mm-hmm. Call him Nomad again, or, you know, who knows?
They've already used that name with the alternate Earth Bucky. So
who knows? So they'll call him something else and call him the American Soldier. You know, it's like, promote him. You know, Obama can make him Colonel America. Just don't turn him into a zombie.
It's five-star General America. Yeah. I mean, overall, I liked the issue. I thought it had some good stuff. I thought, again, the ending was kind of telegraphed a little early on. And again, since it was an expected swerve, I was not totally surprised. To me, it was above an average comic. It was far from a 5 out of 5. So I gave it a 4. But, you know, it was one of those that... This is something that easily could have been a 5 out of 5 in terms of just the potential the story had of what are they going to do with Steve, what are they going to do with Bucky, all that kind of stuff.
Hey, after I read the New Avengers Annual and the last page of that, spoiler, you know, had Steve Rogers back as Captain America, again, telegraphing, you know, the end of Reborn, which we still haven't seen. You know, I'm like, cool, Steve Rogers is back, and he's in the Captain America outfit. And you see Steve Rogers running around in the Captain America outfit. And then for him to take off the costume and put it away at the end of this is just, you know, very disappointing to me. So it knocked it down to a 3 for me. You know, I was leaning towards it being higher until that ending. You know, I was even, it's like, okay, so he wants to let Bucky have the shield and he'll get a different shield, you know, himself. I would have been okay with that, but no, he like gives up the whole thing. I never want, and you know, the other part is when he says, I never wanted to be Captain America.
Yeah, that doesn't ring true at all.
I find that offensive. And again, I'm taking it too hard, right? You know, take this with a grain of salt, but this is this to me, again, like when they brought Kyle Rayner on as Green Lantern and went out of their way to do stuff to make it so you wouldn't want to see Hal. You know, it's like, let's tear down Hal. And it's not the exact same thing, but, you know, but him saying, I never wanted to be Captain America, that is total BS. And for Brubaker to put those words into Steve Rogers' mouth says something to me that maybe he doesn't resonate with the Cap that I thought he knew how to write, because that does not ring true at all to me. And that one statement knocked the issue down right there to a 3.
I can see that, because the reason Steve Rogers originally became Captain America is he wanted to do whatever he possibly could to be in the war effort, etc., etc. It's not so much that he specifically wanted to be Captain America, because such a thing didn't exist, but it was kind of, the character was destined to be that, and he knew, and he was okay, and he knew that kind of a thing.
And when he became Captain America, he always loved being Captain America. You always got that sense, you know. And in all the Cap stories I read when I was growing up, you know, whether they were he was in the Avengers, whether it was, you know, retro stories of him during World War II in the Invaders book, you know, wherever it was in Cap's own book, he always reveled in being Captain America. He was proud to be Captain America. He was Captain America.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to. He stopped being Steve Rogers. He had always been Captain America, and that, you know, it just came into fruition or whatever. That's who he is when you get down to the core of the character.
Right.
So, you can call him Nomad, you can call him whatever, but he is Captain America.
So you don't put those words into his mouth.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. This is something that, again, I thought it was an enjoyable story. It didn't go where I thought it would have gone or should have gone or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I wasn't holding that against it. I do think that this is a missed opportunity because I think if they had knocked this one completely out of the park, it had that potential. So they fell shy of the mark, for me at least, but it was still good. Now I want to see what Brubaker's long-term plan is for some of this stuff. But, you know, I don't know. We shall see.
Very frustrating issue to me. You know, I wanted to love it, and I just didn't. You know, same thing with the Reborn. I mean, Reborn could have been a lot better than it was. That entire series was a low 3, in my opinion. I mean, I haven't seen the last issue, and at this point, I don't know that I even care.
Well, and again, getting the stuff out of order, having not only spoiled that here, but having spoiled this elsewhere, you know, it really, and that's part of why I'm so much against spoilers, ironically, even though we've tossed a few in here, is because I want to see the story unfold as it unfolds, not get the Cliff Notes version either from somewhere else or have the ending short-circuited for me. And I think they really did this story, this whole Captain America arc, a real disservice by not getting the stuff out in the right order. But they got nobody to blame but themselves.
So just a real quick recap on page count, since we got a contingent of listeners who like that sort of thing. Wonder Woman standard 22-page story for $2.99, so nothing out of the ordinary there. The Captain America book was $3.99 and had 25 pages, so slightly more than normal, but not the full. Like normally, if you're going to be like on par with a $2.99 issue, a $3.99 issue will be somewhere around 28 to 30 pages. So this fell a little shy of that. And then our last selection, we move over into our independent choice from Radical Comics, The Last Days of American Crime by Rick Remender. This book was 48 pages for $4.99. So while, and it's a nice square-bound package. So that one, if you actually take the page count of it, is the cheapest of all of them, even though it has the highest cover price. You're getting your most value for your comic dollar with that book.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with 2 points already on you here. The nice square-bound format. I hate the square-bound format.
Oh, you do? I like the square-bound format.
I hate it with a passion. Stuff gets lost in the gutter. I find it annoying. And in terms of the best value for the money, you're certainly getting the most pages at the best rate. But, you know, I like a good heist film, and that's kind of sort of what this story is. It's a heist story. Now, it's set in kind of the near future and hinges around the whole conversion off cash to a completely digital economy, which gave it kind of sort of a sci-fi bent, but not really a major one, and I don't think that really helped the story. While I thought it was a good story, I thought it was a bit slow. They had 48 pages to get this thing moving. We got to a major plot point at the end of the issue. Certainly some things happened, but I was a little, frankly, I was a little bored with it. You know, when I go into a heist film, you know, I want to have a some interesting characters. Yeah, we kind of sort of got that here. I didn't really get to know them all that well. You're going to have an ambitious heist. Certainly we got that here. What they're trying to do, you know, seems ambitious. But there's also going to be some clever twists and turns in how they do it, what they do, whatever. And I felt this kind of failed to be kind of clever or overly original. And they had the room. You know, with 48 pages, they could have really knocked our socks off. And for me, they kind of failed to do that. I thought it was a solid story. I thought it was enjoyable. But it was almost pedestrian in places. And I'm hoping now that Remender has really set the scene here that things will pick up the pace in the next two issues. So what did you think of the story?
Oh, I liked it better than you did. The more sci-fi aspect to it that you might have missed there is that they're going to be broadcasting a signal that's going to prevent people from committing crimes. It's this API initiative that they talk about in various places in here. So it's not just that they're moving off of cash onto a cashless system. It's that they've got some kind of technology that's going to prevent people from having criminal thoughts.
Do they actually explain in the story that it'll prevent criminal thoughts? They just say it's going to start broadcasting.
Yeah, and that's a place where Remender is not clear here. They talk about it, and they don't fully explain the implications of that in this. I know that because of other stuff that I've read about this. Plus, if you read at the back at the interview,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking in the interview at the back of it that it's government's going to broadcast a signal that will neurologically make it impossible for anyone to knowingly engage in unlawful behavior. So while it's not in the exact text of the story, which it should have been, I would agree with you there, it's physically within the pages of the issue because they have this interview at the
back. And I'll grant you there, but it's like a joke that's got to be explained. Isn't that good of a joke? But you're right. The fact they've got this American Peace Initiative broadcasting in the story, it does give it more of a sci-fi bent than I was giving it credit for. So I'll grant you that.
I look at it as like a hard-boiled crime thing, and I'm comparing it to things like 100 Bullets and other kinds of these kind of crime noir kind of things that I've read in the past. And, you know, to that extent, I mean, I will give you that the heist itself does not seem to have gotten off on fully formed stages in the 48 pages here. The story itself, though, I kind of liked it. The art for me, while it's not the same kind of art that I see in other radical books, you know, it's not that painted style. I think the art is really, really appropriate to the noir tone of the story. And I think it complements it really nicely. Art by Greg Tocchini.
Yeah, and
I can't fault your criticism of it, though, of, you know, a little more could have happened in it because, you know, when you look at the first issue of Shrapnel, for instance, I think they did a little more to set the story up in those 48 or so pages that came out in the first issue.
I just think in this day and age of comics where the first issue sells whatever it sells, the second issue on average is going to drop by like 20-22%, the third issue by another 11% or something like that. It's just in everyone's best interest to start out as strong as possible. And I felt this didn't do that. Now, the other thing that came to mind when you were talking is how you were comparing it to more kind of crime noir stuff, where I was comparing it to more heist films. And looking at it through the lens of more of a crime noir thing, you're right, it does hold up, I think, better along those lines. But, and again, that was, you know, the way that it had been pitched or at least what I'd read in previews and stuff like that, they were trying, at least I thought, to sell it more along the lines of a heist film.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, got the crime noir thing out of it, especially from the just from the art style. And those kind of books, when I read them, it's more about just the mood and atmosphere.
And it had that,
that
yeah.
they set up, as opposed to, you know, how much of a breakneck pace they're setting up. So, you know, I can see your point, though, because if I was going into this expecting it to be more like, you know, focusing on that heist, I'd want to see more advancing toward the heist. Although, to give it credit, though, they did throw in some nice twists along those lines, especially the development on the last page. I think her name is Shelby, mm-hmm. the woman. You know, you see that she's got some kind of a little bit of a relationship there that we weren't expecting to have happen. So that was kind of interesting to me, and that left me on a nice note that's got me intrigued to come back for the next issue too. So I wish, you know, if in a perfect world, what I would have liked to have seen in this is a little more fleshing out within the context of the story, not just the backup interview, what this American Peace Initiative is. You know, it's really not made clear. It's made very clear that they're going away from the paper money, but, you know, there's a lot of allusions to the fact that, you know, there's, you know, and you see all these riots and these people committing crimes, and it's just like people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, just to kind of get it out of their system, because in 3 weeks or whatever, they're not going to be able to even have a criminal thought again. You know, so that's kind of a key element to this. And the heist is being done in the context of that, but just a lot of the motivations of a lot of the characters that you're even walking by in here are really driven by that American Peace Initiative. So having that fleshed out a little more within the context of the story would have been better. And to me, had that been done, it would have, for me, knocked it up to a 5 out of 5, because I thought it was really well done. But there were, as a first issue in and of itself, there were, you know, some places where it fell short, that being the major one. But I really loved the art, again, from the standpoint of the type of book it was, because I think it really fit the tone really nicely. So I ended up giving it a 4 out of 5. But, you know, as an example, and I think I'm really curious to see how this moves along and, you know, how we get a little bit more into that. Hopefully he'll have a little more explanation of that American Peace Initiative within the context of the story in the second and or third issues. If he doesn't, then that's going to make it kind of flawed as a trade paperback, right?
Yeah, but even so, as a first issue, I consider that kind of a noticeable, yeah, if not major, flaw.
I agree with you on that. It is a flaw in the first issue. You know, all I'm saying is that I was a little disappointed when I read the issue, because I had known that from interviews that I had read previously. When I didn't see it, so I knew what it was when I saw it, right? When I saw the blurbs and the newscasters talking about the American Peace Initiative, I knew what it was. Had I not been clued into all those things, I would have been in the dark. So right away, that kind of set off some alarms. Then when I saw the interview in the back, at least they explained it there, which, again, at least it's in the context of this package that I bought.
And I'll grant you
that. Go to the internet.
That's better than it being on the internet.
It's a flaw in the context of the storytelling. I agree with you completely, because it should have been fleshed out in the continuity of those 48 pages.
Yeah, because, I mean, I see that interview at the back kind of like the director commentary on a DVD. Not everyone's going to read that or catch that part of it, you know? And this is the kind of thing where if I didn't have the other issues already on order, this issue wouldn't have been strong enough to make me think, gosh, I've really got to go put them on order. I have them. I'm going to follow it. I want to see where Remender goes with this. I think it's got some potential. But I found my mind wandering a little while I was reading it, and that's not a good sign. I think that, again, this day and age, you got to hook readers a lot better on the first issue.
I thought it was a very strong, for me, it was a nice strong issue. I liked the backup material that was in there. I do think it was a good value for the money, although I will say that from reading the first issue, I'm guessing it will read better as a trade paperback than as individual issues.
Probably. And I agree entirely. It's a great value for the money. They've got a ton of good backup material. Again, 48 pages for the $4.99 is a good deal just in and of itself. I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more story kind of crammed in there. And I think part of it was I went in with the wrong expectations. I was expecting more of a heist film that had, to me, certain things I was expecting in the story that just weren't there. Now, whether that's just because they mismarketed it or I misread the marketing material or whatever, that certainly didn't help it. For me, I gave this a rating of a 3. I certainly think it's you know, worth checking out. Excellent value for the money. Really, I don't think you can go wrong with anything over at Radical these days. Just find the genre that suits you best.
I would say, if you're looking for kind of a noir, or I guess Remender's calling it neo-crime, maybe that's the probably better name for the genre. He's the professional writer, so he probably knows better than I do on that. That's the kind of attitude you want to have going into this. That's the kind of story that you want to kind of set yourself up for here.
Yeah. I think I would have enjoyed it better, I think, again, if I'd gone in with again, different expectations. I was expecting a cleverer heist film, and the heist is almost incidental to what they're doing. You know, it's just like, it'd be like if you watched the new Battlestar Galactica TV series and was expecting hardcore science fiction. It's a war story in space, you know, so you just gotta take things for what they are. And again, I thought technically this was a well-done story.
And by the way, pay attention to the mature readers tag on the front. There is nudity, you know, language, you know, violence, you know, adult situations, all the whole kind of thing. You don't want to give this one to a kid at all.
No, no, you do not.
I would say 18 plus on this one. Not even a, you know, or 17. It's an R-rated movie. It's a hard R crime movie, basically. So that's what you want to use as a guidance on this one.
Yeah. So did you have a chance to even look at any of the other things in your box, or no?
I did read New Avengers. That's all that I read. Just, again, because I was wondering if any kind of Captain America Steve Rogers action was going to come popping up in that, and nothing did. It was a nicely done issue, though.
I have read, I think, I'm almost caught up on my reading, actually. I'm still not current on Wildstorm, and I think one or two titles like, what was the Brubaker one he did through Icon?
Criminal.
No, the other one.
Incognito.
Incognito. That one I've still got a couple issues to read. I think there's one other series I got to read, which actually it's probably Shrapnel from Radical. Other than that, I've had some time to catch up on my reading. So out of the 45 or so comics I got this week, 45 comics, I have read, I believe, all of them. All of them except for the The Fall of the Hulks Gamma one-shot, I've saved that. The issue of Hulk 18 to read when we read for next week for the Fall of the Hulks Alpha. But I've been getting a lot of reading done, so I'm happy with that. Some good stuff coming out.
Yeah, given that I only got my box about 2 hours ago.
excuses.
I know. Right. Well, you know, plus this is like the 48-page... Last Days of American Crime, 25 pages for this, 22. You know, I got like 100 pages just in these three issues that we reviewed tonight, plus the New Avengers issue that I read. So, That was all I had time for.
Yeah, now I know how that goes. So, anything else, or does that pretty much do it?
Let me just see how many books I got in total here. So I got 42 books this week, 42 comics, and then I got the Marvel Masterworks, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Volume 2,
mm-hmm.
And then, which has got the Steranko stuff in it, I believe.
Yeah, I picked that up, too.
Should think about maybe revisiting a back issue spotlight on that one. That was one of our more popular back issue spotlights when we did Volume 1 way back when.
We had Jason Wood from 11 O'Clock Comics on for that.
Yeah. We maybe get him to make a return appearance.
Could be good.
And then I got two statues. I got my Cover Girls of the DCU, Black Canary, a little bit late. That came out a few weeks back. And the Ghost Rider, Danny Ketch bust from Bowen. In the box as well. So
cool. Well, I figure between the backlog I had a month ago and the different comics I've gotten since then, I've read like over 430 or so comics in the last month. So
wow,
good time for a skip week, you know, with this next shipment only having the one new comic. That'll give me time to hopefully catch up maybe on the Wildstorm stuff, finish off those other two titles, and finally get around to inventorying the back issues I've gotten lately and what I bought back in San Diego. I still haven't done that. So I got some bookkeeping stuff to be doing. But, yeah. So, almost caught up entirely on my reading, so I'm happy with that.
I am still behind. I watched a lot of movies on the week off, and I didn't read anywhere near as many comics as I probably could have.
Yeah. That it?
That should be it.
Cool.
Join us next week for our Skip Week Spectacular when we cover Blackest Night number 6 from DC, The Fall of the Hulks, Alpha and Gamma from Marvel, and Angel number 28 from IDW.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.